Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. There's just a certain thing when the youth, you may be seated, but when the youth are here in this service, you come in, and it's just different. And so I've asked, and I wanted to say that because Richie was talking about just, going through Proverbs when he's with the kids. I said, well, he's going to be speaking tonight that same message that he was going to speak to the youth. But you know, it's those powerful, simple truths like Proverbs, man, that just encourage your heart, strengthen your heart, teach your heart, and that's good. So I'm encouraged by that. So let's give Richie a warm hand.
Actually, so like today when I was studying, I had already had something else that I was going to teach on, but then there's been like some conversations throughout our kids, that just struggles that happen in school and stuff like that. And I was reading Proverbs this morning.
Hi, Bill.
Did
you get my text?
Just the first two scriptures really hit me. And I'm like, okay, so that's what we're going to talk about. And I love it because on Sunday, Pastor Chad was talking about Romans 12:2 that says not to be conformed to things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Most of you guys know our youth name is set apart, and we named them that with Romans 12:2 being the foundation that we're building the youth on. And we've been teaching them for months about the importance of having a strong structure, a foundation. In school, I can't remember what teacher it was, but in school they were teaching and they were saying, like, in construction, if you want to make a really big building, you have to make sure that your foundation is really deep and strong to support the weight of that tall structure. And so it's similar in our walks in Christianity. The deeper we want to, the taller we want to go, the higher up we want to climb and be in the presence of God, we got to make sure that we have a strong foundation, right? So I really loved, I feel that it's very important to go back and cover the basics every now and then. So, our youth are very familiar with it. I'll get going on a subject, and then I'll stop and I'll go back to setting over the foundations and setting things in place again to remind newer kids, but also to remind us. It's very important that we remind ourselves even the simple things, because the simple things get away from us. And sometimes the simple things are very, very important. Because it's real easy to get comfortable. I remember Tom Shaw had told me one time that he had just was really going down in his health. It was declining, and he was having a lot of trouble. And they went out to dinner with some friends. And after dinner, the friend had told him that they had seen a demon on his shoulders. Like, it had his claws. I don't know if he said the shoulders or his head, but like, it had claws on him. And they had asked if he was okay with it praying it off. And he, of course, he said, absolutely. And he felt that thing, just the claws release from his shoulders and lift off of him. And his health came, his health came back. He was feeling stronger. And he had told me, he's like, I'm embarrassed to say this. I've been on the mission field. I've been a pastor. I've founded schools. And I've done all these things. But I've gotten so comfortable that I forgot the basics. And I allowed myself to get attacked. So I think it's important to always, like the scripture says, to not be conformed to things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And not being conformed to these things of this world are not always some dramatic thing, right? A lot of people want to attach it to some dramatic thing, pornography, drugs, and all this other radical stuff. Yes, those things have their place, but sometimes it's something so simple as wanting to be the cool kid, wanting to fit in, being stuck on our tablets, our cell phones, our video games. Our video games. So these are all things that we get stuck in. But when we get stuck in those things, we allow those to become distractions in our lives. And distractions in our lives is when we become comfortable and allow things to come against us and throw us off course. I really love the way Pastor Chad painted a picture for us on Sunday about the caterpillar going through the metamorphosis, the transformation of becoming a caterpillar, going from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And I really, it really hit me when he said there was something in the debris that was left, there was something in the remains that was left that the butterfly was not attracted to anymore. And it's so awesome because sometimes we, in the midst of our transformation, trying to learn what it is, you know, 2 Corinthians tells us that we become new creations, that old things have passed away. Sometimes we kind of want to test the waters and see if the old things are still going to be attractive to us. And they're not.
Right.
But we still try, right? And we realize, like, wow, I'm not getting the same satisfaction from that. You know, it's because your spirit, man, your spirit knows that that can no longer bring you satisfaction.
Right.
Things in this world don't bring you satisfaction.
Right.
It's a temporary thing, but it ends in devastation. It destroys us bit by bit. And so I really liked the picture that he painted for us on Sunday because I think about how many times I tried to go back and it just didn't taste the same, or it didn't feel the same. It was just like disgusting to myself. And to the point as I'm growing older in my walk, I'm like, what are you doing? Why would you even think about that? You know, we do that from time to time. You know, and it's not even something that you're trying to think about. You just, a thought will go through your head and you're just like, wow. Where did that come from? I had a dream last night that I'm not going to get back into, but in my dream, I guess, like, I was still who I am, like, right now, but in my dream, I was still who I was very much back then, and I was on the roof trying to, well, never mind. I'm not going to go there. It was not good. Anyways, I really loved that picture you painted for us. And so as we change things in this world, we no longer should no longer bring us joy. So today I wanted to read Proverbs 24 because there's some instructions in here that some, if not most of us, already know, right? We already know the common sense things. But I'll admit that as I was reading through them, a couple of them kind of hit me with a gentle reminder. Things that I still have to work in certain areas of my life to correct my heart posture. It's very important to have a good heart posture, right? Let's go ahead and get into Proverbs. We're going to be in 24. We're going to start at 1. And this is a huge part of the transformation process of not being conformed to this world. So with the teenagers, you know, being in school, and even us as adults, you know, as we go from teenagers into adulthood, or even just being in adulthood, and we have jobs, you know, in the construction world, it's really bad. But we get into our jobs, and, well, let me get into the scripture. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry. It says, do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. And number 2 says, for their minds plot violence and their lips talk of trouble. In the schools or in jobs, I've noticed in my own walk, it's really hard, right? Because we want to fit in. We want to be the cool kids. We want to be liked. It's in our nature. We want to be loved. And so we'll seek out and do anything that we can in order to receive that feeling because it's a good feeling. And so we'll see the people around us speaking dirty, getting into inappropriate conversations, especially with your kids at school. There's a lot of inappropriate stuff going on, and it just seems like harmless fun. But the truth is what you're putting into your mind is what you're putting out into your life. So what you're allowing yourself to focus on is what you're going to get. And so we have to remind ourselves to be set apart from these things, not to be conformed to these things, and renew our mind by spending time with God and seeking His knowledge in His Word.
Amen.
The next verse says, through skillful and godly wisdom, a house, a life, a home, a family is built, and by understanding it is established on a sound and good foundation, and by knowledge its rooms are filled with the precious and pleasant riches. I tell our kids it's very important to understand the foundation. Understanding who He is, who we are, and who we belong to. Right? Because if we understand that God is God the Father, He's our healer, our redeemer, our rewarder, our savior, and we are His son and His daughter, why would He not want to give us everything? Of course He wants to give us everything. He wants us to have more than we can even comprehend. And most of us will go through our entire lives and never even tap into the full potential that God has for us. Because we allow things to hold us back. I learned a lot about that in Andrew Womack's book, Not to Limit God. And when I first read opened the book, I'm like, how am I going to limit God? Like, God is. And through that study, I learned there's a lot of ways that I limit God. False teachings, false understandings, lack of knowledge. And where do we get lack of knowledge from? It's not always being taught wrong. Sometimes it's just because we're not taking the initiative to get into our Word and understand what God has for us. If we're not going to open up our Bibles, we're never going to know what He's got for us. Right? And so by building this foundation of understanding who we are, and understanding, once we understand who we are, we understand that we have a God-given authority, an inheritance that was given to us, right? An ability to speak against all things that come against us. All things, not some things, all things. And call them done. That builds a foundation for us, and it gives us the ability to walk a little bit taller, to walk a little bit stronger, and it fills us with the wisdom that, like the scripture says, will fill our house with precious and pleasant riches. Pleasant and precious riches. So if I'm understanding that God doesn't want me to be in pain, and I can start speaking to it on my authority, and some people get upset, wait a minute, hold on, it's not your authority, it's God's authority. No, it's my authority. God gave it to me. And so we teach the younger kids all the time, you have to stand on it. And I love it because I'll tell the youth all the time, you got to be careful when you put your butts. And a lot of times I'll start giggling because it's funny. You said butt. You know? And so once we get past the giggles, we'll get into it. You got to be careful when you put your butts. You got to change the way you think. You got to change the way you speak. So if you're constantly saying, oh, I'm in pain, or this hurts, and that hurts, well, guess what? You are receiving. Andrew Womack says, to receive something is to take something in and grab hold of. So the moment you say, I have, you are taking hold of that. You are receiving that. You have to start being careful when you put your butts. I am struggling with this, but God is my healer. God is my... And you can start pumping yourself up. I don't know what... If there's anybody in here that doesn't get pumped up and start saying that, He is my healer. He is my redeemer. He is, and you might start like, okay, He's my healer. He's my redeemer. But then you're like, man, He's my rewarder. He's my supplier. He's my, and you start going and going and going before you know it. I don't know about you guys, but I'll be in my room getting ready for work, pacing back and forth. And before I know it, I'm like, shut up, speaking in tongues and screaming, I'm so excited and feeling something because something's changed. What changed? The way that I'm talking, the way that I'm thinking, the way that I am changing the temperature of my room, of my situation. I'm not holding on to those things anymore. And guess what? I haven't been in pain in a long time. My back, my knees, all these things, my knee, okay, well, I will, that's a lie. My knee has been a little bit of a pain, but God's not done yet. And I will receive my healing. I am receiving my healing. And I will be jumping up and down before you know it. I already do. Sometimes I'll have to show up on one leg. You know what I'm saying? But, okay. Uh, The next one says, a wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge strengthens his power. For by wise guidance you can wage your war. And in an abundance of wise counselors, there is victory and safety. Where can we trust? Where's the place we can trust to go for wise counsel or wisdom? Who? Jesus. He said, Jesus, right? The word of God, right? But he also put people in our lives. I have been so many, I mean, a lot of you guys are in this room today. I have been so blessed with an abundance of wise counselors that I can talk to, that can walk me through situations, who can encourage me. I tell the youth kids all the time, a good Christian friendship, right? Or relationship of any kind, whether it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, whatever, friend, is somebody who lifts you up, encourages you, builds you up, and points you in the right direction. The right direction is towards God. So if your friend's not pointing you in that direction, lifting you up, building you up, encouraging you, and helping you, also giving you some sometimes very harsh, wise counsel, it doesn't always feel good. You know, it doesn't always feel good. Sometimes they have to say, hey, you're messing up. But it's not out of pointing finger. It's wise counsel. It's love. It's gentle correction. And that is some really good stuff. Wisdom is to be exalted. Pardon arrogant fool. Ooh. Wisdom is to exalted for a hardened arrogant fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate where the city rulers sit in judgment. When I read this, and I could be wrong, but when I read this, I was reading it in a different Bible translation, but when I read it, to me, I took that as saying that if you're not going to open your mouth and speak to your mountains, they're not going to move. If you're not going to speak to the things that are causing you setbacks or causing you to be stuck, keeping you from moving forward, you're a fool. God gives us this wisdom. He gives us all these things. I tell the kids sometimes, it's like, can you imagine? Matter of fact, I think Pastor Lee, I heard Pastor Lee say this, gave this analogy one time. He says, can you imagine somebody gave you a brand new truck, gave you the keys for it and everything, and says, there it is, and all you did was put it in the front yard, but you never drove it. It's just an expensive yard ornament. That's all it is. You have to use the tools that have been given to you. If you're not, then you're never going to reach your full potential, because he's given you so many gifts, so many powers, so much authority. But for whatever reason, we don't believe that it's fully ours. And so we don't tap into it. And so we'll go to God and like knock on his door. Hey, God, are you there? If it's in your will, can you help me? If it's in your will, can you help me? And he's like, I already helped you. Speak it. Open your mouth and speak to these things. You move that mountain. Oh, yeah. He who plans to do evil will be called a schemer or deviser of evil. The devising of folly is sin, and the scoffer is repulsive to men. You know, the other translation said, yeah, the ESV. He said, I think he said it was an abomination to men. And when I read this scripture, an abomination to mankind. And as I was reading the scripture, I was just thinking, like, wow, like, God spoke everything into existence, right? But when it came to us, he came down and he molded us with his hands. He came down and did the dirty work. He molded us, and he breathed his life into us. He took time to have a personal, intimate time and created us uniquely. It was different. He could have just spoke to us like he spoke to anything else, but he didn't. And I was just thinking how beautiful that was that my dad, my father, God, came down and molded me. He molded me. So these things that go on around me that can cause me to backslide or cause me to think inappropriately or cause me to be distracted from his wisdom should disgust me. They should make me sick. I should not be okay with those things. That's what that scripture spoke to me. To me, I thought about it in this again. And it's awesome is because I start to catch myself. I do that a lot. My wife and I, we used to be like so big into like murder mysteries and TV shows, and we would binge watch them until we couldn't keep our eyes open anymore. And we don't even watch TV anymore. It's crazy. Like, we don't even watch TV anymore because we'll turn it on and there's something. I'm like, gosh, really? Did that have to be there? Why did they start doing that? And then we realized like, they didn't just start doing that. But the transformation that has taken place inside of me is no longer okay with what I'm allowing in my life. Praise God. And that's awesome to me. That is proof that old me is no longer there. That is proof that backs up the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that the old me is gone. It just took me seeking the Father to start to walk in my transformation. It's beautiful. If you are slack, careless in the day of distress, your strength is limited. Rescue those who are being taken away to death and those who stagger to the slaughter. Oh, hold them back from their doom. On my birthday, I was kind of down and out. Just kind of depressed a little bit. I just lost my dog, my best friend. And I was just taking it pretty hard. And Eddie was kind of having a bad day too, when he called me up and he was telling me about it. And so we prayed together, right? Godly friendships, lift each other up. In the middle of our feeling like garbage, he's like, what do you want to do? I said, let's go out and minister. Let's go out. Let's go evangelize. So we filled up our backpacks. We got some books and some Bibles, and we took to the square. Well, we went to the mall, which is an awesome testimony. I'll give it anyways. In a nutshell, we went to the mall. There was a guy whose business was going out. He was going out of business. I had prayed for him a couple days later. He was worried that his business was going to have to shut down because he had nowhere else to go. I prayed for him the next day. Oh, I prayed for him, and he received the Lord right there in the middle of the store. And while he's receiving the Lord, he was cursing and cussing. And we didn't say anything about it. We didn't even like let him know that all of this. We were just praying for him, and he called himself cussing. He's like, I'm not going to ever change. We're not asking you to change. We're not even saying that you have to change. Because the awesome thing about it is when you receive the Lord, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, and he will transform you from inside out. So seek the Father. So anyways, so I go back to the store, and I see the guy, and the guy doesn't see me. He's walking around the store. Oh, thank you, Jesus, God. Oh, this is so awesome, God. Thank you, Jesus. And I walked up to him like, hey, man, what's going on? You remember me? He's like, you. He's like, I found a new shop the next day after you prayed for me. And then his sister was having an issue with her stomach. We prayed for her. That issue was gone. And then just doors just started blowing open for them. And they were just super happy. He wasn't cursing or anything. He's not going to stay. We'll see. But it was awesome because God radically transformed that man and changed the circumstances of his life, for the rest of his life, if he'll continue to seek the Father, right? And so it was so awesome, and so like the scripture is saying, if you are slack or careless in the days of distress, your strength is limited. But I didn't allow my strength to be limited. I didn't allow myself to sit there and fall into the depression, which I could have, right? Poor me, woo, woo, woo. But instead, I'm like, you know what? Let's go out and make somebody else's day better. And so we went out to the square. We started praying for people. We met this group of ladies that was there. I didn't know that it just happened to be the National Day of Prayer, which was super awesome. So the ladies saw me and Eddie and were like, oh, come pray with us. We're like, yeah, sure, why not? And then we sat there talking to people for hours. But at the end of the day, my whole attitude changed because I decided to set aside myself and lift up God. I changed my circumstances because I relied on the knowledge that he'd given me to not sit in my stress and turmoil, to find joy in the middle of trials and tribulations, and seek the Father. And it was just amazing. It was awesome. So awesome. Yeah. So if you claim ignorance and say, see, we did not know this, does he not consider it who weighs and examines the heart of their motives? And does he not know it who guards your life and keeps your soul? And will he not repay you and every man according to his works? God knows the intentions of our hearts. He knows where we are. Obviously, if you don't know something, no one's going to hold you accountable for that if you didn't know any better. But you guys do know better. God knows the intentions of our hearts. The people are telling me, oh, well, the real way of saying God is Yahweh, and it's spelled this way and that way, and it's not the way we're calling it, and everybody's doing it wrong. And I told him, I said, look, dude, I appreciate your knowledge in this area, but look, my God knows my heart. So if I'm saying Jesus, Yahweh, Abba, Jehovah, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, whatever name you want to call out to, he knows who you're calling out to. He knows who you're crying out to. You're calling out to God. You're calling out on the Father. I personally don't think it matters. That's my own opinion, but I personally don't think it matters. He knows who I'm talking out to. Because when I talk to him, I'm talking from the deepest part of the inside of me. I'm setting aside everything I have, every worry, every stress, and I'm going straight to the Father because he's my comfort. Oh, I love this scripture. This filled me with so much joy. I don't have the numbers, but it says, my son, eat honey because it is good, and the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste. Know that skillful and godly wisdom is so very good for you, for your life and soul. I'm thinking about all my little youth kids over here who love to hit the candy bar, the Snack Shack. And they like that candy. They like them sweets. They like the desserts, right? You guys got a sweet tooth. Man, I love the way he points this out. He says, eat that honey, that sweet and yummy honey. He says, and the drippings of the honeycombs that are sweet to your taste, know that skillful and godly wisdom is so, so very good for your life and soul. God's word is so good for you, man. You know, I love reading other people's books. I there's so many people that I follow, from Todd White to Stephen Furtick to the founder of Mr. Womack. All these people, I love to follow them, but at the end of the day, those books are their revelations. God wants us to have our revelation. And reading their books are great. I am not in any way shaped. I teach off of a lot of them. And I love it. But God wants us to come seek his word and to get a revelation that he has for us. He wants us to get our own revelation. And we're not going to get that if we're not seeking his word. It's very important that we are spending time with his word. So what I tell the kids a lot of the times is, you'll hear a lot of people, and please, if you are one of them, don't be offended by what I'm saying. But there are a lot of people who love to get up in the morning and pray for 3-4 hours straight. There is nothing wrong with that. If that's what you love to do, there is nothing wrong with that. And they like to read book after book after book, and there is nothing wrong with that. But if you are reading just to reach your quota, stop doing that. Because the quota is not important. The quota doesn't fill you up inside. If you're just reading book after book after book and you're not receiving and you're not understanding and you're not comprehending it, it's doing no good. It's like watching a movie and you're just not even focused on the movie, and at the end of the movie you have no idea what happened. It happens to me all the time. It's like, what did I just watch? I didn't know. We just watched this stupidest movie the other day. And it was like an hour and a half into this movie, and I'm like, what is this even about? Charlie's like, you didn't fall asleep, you wouldn't know. So stop falling asleep in your reading time. Like, the hours of reading and prayer is awesome, but if you're not there yet, if you don't comprehend it, if you're not receiving the knowledge, then it's no good. If you're reading and you're getting every bit of it and it's speaking to you, awesome. But if there's a scripture you don't understand, stop on that scripture and soak it in.
Yes.
Chew on it. Absorb it. Allow it to become living inside of your heart. Allow it to just to fully comprehend it and feed you. Oh, but if you find wisdom, then there will be a future and a reward, and your hope and expectations will not be cut off. Do not lie in wait a wicked man against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not destroy his resting place. For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in time of disaster and collapse. I'm going to read this last one. This last one is very important for me anyways. God really spoke to me. He says, do not rejoice and gloat when your enemy falls. And do not let your heart be glad in self-righteousness when he stumbles. With bullies, we have to understand that the bully has a pain. There's something that's causing somebody to be unhappy. And if we're able to set aside our own pain and hurts when somebody's offended us and think about what they might be going through, we might realize that they're going through something. And they're not necessarily lashing out at you, but there's an area in their life that they're unhappy with. And they need someone to pray for them. And so to pray for the person that comes against you is not easy. Sometimes the person that comes against you will come against you so much that it makes you just want to quit everything you're doing. But I want you guys to understand that as we walk out our lives and we focus on living for the Lord, a lot of my kids have all expressed a desire to share the gospel. They feel that there is a place for them. They just have a heart for sharing with others God's word. And that's awesome. Sometimes it's not always fun. Sometimes it hurts. We just have to remember that we're not doing it for others. We're not doing it for a pat on the back or recognition. We're doing it just to further the kingdom and to be blessed by every second that we can, honoring him with our time. And when somebody is being mean to you falls, pick them up. Pray for them. Sometimes it's hard walking up to that person and putting your arms around them and just praying for them. Pray for them, not at them. There is a difference. There is a difference. Pray for them and not at them. And you'll see that something will change inside of you. You know, there was a bully at my kids' school, and I was telling Leah, Elijah, the boys here. I said, you know, if she's that mean, when you go into school, just go up to her and tell her, hey, Jesus loves you, my boy. And so I told them when we got there, they were going to go and tell the kids, hey, Jesus loves you, and just walk away. And they did. And I guess it was a girl, right?
Yeah.
She was mean. Huh? And so they did. And so the next day, I told the kids, I says, okay, when you go in there, and I want you to tell the little girl, hey, Jesus loves you, and walk away. And so they did. And then again and again and again, to the point where I got to tell the kids, like, hey, what are we going to do today? We're going to tell her Jesus loves her. Awesome. And so they did that. But I like to believe that it was training up the kids to be thoughtful. Because you never know what that little girl's going through at home. Just because they're in a Christian private school doesn't mean nothing. You never know. Parents could be fighting, there could be a divorce, there could be God knows what. There could be alcohol, there could be drugs, there could be abuse, there could be overworked parents, right? I used to be one of the overworking parents. Never home, they're lonely, they're angry, and they're lashing out. So when you see them struggling, don't be happy, don't get excited. Pray for them. We'll go ahead and close. how is she finished with music, or even on the other side, we finished with music. Chris goes, oh, okay, let me close with prayer. Father God, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity tonight to share in here. Lord, I pray that this message touched every single one of the people in this room, Lord. I thank you that this message fell on open ears and soft hearts, God. And as we go about our week, Lord, just give us a gentle reminder. Remind us to seek your wisdom, to seek your word, to spend time with you. And more important than anything, to just build that relationship, that personal relationship. Sitting there, not even petitioning for anything. Just, I pray that they come to you this week and just spend time with you, talk with you, be with you. Get to know who you are. Get to know what you want for them. And as they ask for wisdom and guidance, God, I just pray that you will show them how to be still, quiet,